They knew we were coming back here. Someone came up with the idea of putting Kentucky and Delaware flags as a centerpiece on the tables for the dinner or the lunch. Both flags, there's something kind of similar about them. Kind of interesting. Both flags feature pictures of what looks like a guy from the country and what looks like a guy from the city. Of course, the Kentucky flag also contains the words, "United we stand, divided we fall." The sentiment there seems to be that cooperation between these folks with different perspectives is essential, if sometimes difficult. You know, in my humble opinion, if there's a lesson from this last election, it may be that the U.S. seems to have a significant urban-rural divide. Kentucky might be a microcosm of that. The president-elect here in the state, nearly 2-1, but trails significantly in Fayette and Jefferson County. Nationally, Republicans are in the majority in Congress, governorships, state legislatures. But the vast majority of big city mayors are Democrats. One wonders if things can happen to sort of bridge this divide, if there could be a sort of rebirth of cooperation. I wonder, maybe there's a little bit of a connection there to the biblical text. Listen for God's word from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter. I begin with verse 1. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the ass, and the weaning child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. These verses are some of the most beloved in the Old Testament. They're often read this time of year. You know, they start, a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse. I'm sure many who read that will wonder, who is Jesse? Is he a big deal in the Bible? Well, Jesse was the father of King David, generally regarded as the Hebrews' greatest king. Now, David, he was definitely not perfect, but we're told that at least most of the time he walked in the way of the Lord. During his kingship, the Hebrew people seemed to be at the height of point of their power and influence. The original readers of Isaiah would have been very familiar with many references to David as the son of Jesse. Now, and often in the Bible, the words son of are used in a way that pretty much means descendant of. Jesus himself is often referred to as the son of David. But I kind of think when Isaiah talks about Jesse, he's probably referring to collectively to the whole of the Hebrew people. These words in Isaiah can be interpreted as referring to at least three different events. Many believe that they foretell the life of Jesus. Several of the phrases seem to fit Christ's life so well. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist. They were written, of course, many centuries before Christ's birth. Probably many in Christ's own time assumed these words related to the years after the Hebrew people returned from exile in Babylon. As we talked a few weeks ago, the Hebrew people were allowed to return to Jerusalem to rebuild both their society and the temple. So there was a lot of rebirth going on. It's also possible that the original writer had in mind a period even 200 years before that, when a threat from the Assyrian Empire abated. Whichever interpretation you adopt, and I think magically they're all three would be valid, note that this business of rebirth was originally about emerging from a very difficult period. Mary and I lived for a time in Moorhead. That's where her first church was. It was about 40 years ago. It was decided that the old county courthouse was too expensive to fix up and renovate. A new courthouse was built a few blocks down Main Street. Ever since, the city fathers have been trying to figure out what to do with the old building. There's a nice yard between the building and the street with 7 or 8 stately old trees in it. Well, over the years, various storms have damaged some of those trees so that they weren't balanced. You know, lightning strikes and wipes out a couple limbs on one side of the tree. It looks kind of unbalanced when that happens. A plan was developed to try to beautify the yard by chopping off the tree branches in a way that the only thing left was the main trunk and 5 or 6 main limbs. And they looked kind of, you know, something like this. So there were 7 or 8 trees around. It kind of just looked like that. I mean, the first time I drove by after this was done, I thought it just looked hideous. You've seen other people try to do this, I guess, with trees in their yard. I had trouble believing that they would, those trees would survive at all. But you know what? By the end of the next summer, after say 2 growing seasons, they didn't look too bad. They were sort of coming back. I suspect many of you remember the ice storm of 2003. Was it bad here? We were still in Moorhead. It wasn't quite as bad there. But I've always heard the ice built up in such a way that night that those who lived in tree-filled neighborhoods could hear almost constant snapping sounds as limb after limb broke off due to the ice buildup. I see a lot of people nodding their heads. In many, many cases, of course, it was necessary to chainsaw off those broken limbs, leaving an unsightly stump. Many residents bemoaned that their attractive city would never be the same. But you know what? Gradually, shoots of new growth would come out. They start to come out from the side, you know, not from the place cut smooth by the saw, but from the side. They come out from the sides of those stumps. Mary and I, we moved back to Lexington a few years later in 05, lived in the Chevy Chase area for a time. I remember one day sitting in my home working on an earlier version of this sermon. This would have been, at this point, three or four years after the storm. I was looking out my window at the neighbor's tree that had been badly damaged during the ice storm. And it was beginning to look pretty healthy. I doubt that a first-time visitor to that neighborhood would notice evidence of the storm. So I think that's what this passage is about. How it's possible, growth is possible from an unhealthy-looking stump. Isaiah goes on to describe several ways in which there can be new birth. The first section seems to be talking about secular government and the affairs of men. The second section is even more compelling, as it talks about the wolf living with the lamb. I ask you, which do you think is more likely? A peace settlement between Israelis and Palestinians? Or a change in animal behavior that would make cats and dogs into natural allies? I think most of them would say that there might come a day, someday, when human enemies might reconcile. We all pray that that will happen someday soon. But a total metamorphosis of the animal kingdom, such as species who are natural antagonists, would start getting along? Well, that just doesn't seem possible. Many of you have lived to see the day when the enemies of your youth, the Germans and the Japanese, have been responsible countries, allies of the United States for many years. Several other people, it's a little more my age, okay, who grew up during the Cold War. I can remember as a young Army officer in many, many classes and exercises learning about how we would go about fighting the Soviet Army. We couldn't imagine that one day the Berlin Wall would come down and Cold War would end. But yet that's now 25 years in the past. So we've seen these incredible changes in many of our lives, but we've not experienced the lion lying down with the lamb. Isaiah challenges us to think that change, even as fundamental as that, is possible. That rebirth can happen even in the most unlikely of circumstances. As the angel said to Sarah in Genesis, after telling her about her very late in life pregnancy, "Is there anything too wonderful for the Lord?" Now, when a tree has damage to several of its limbs, it grows back in a somewhat different way. Not all trees make it. Sometimes it might be necessary to cut down one tree in order to help preserve the health of trees around it. Rebirth can be complicated. One can't help, in this context, talking about the subject of rebirth, but to think about the state of churches. Our membership here is no doubt somewhat older than we would prefer. I know of a lot of congregations that are in much worse shape. It's hard to see, it's hard to see how they'll survive another 10 years. Some might say that rebirth there is impossible. They'd be wrong. There is much life here, although there's uncertainty as well. Perhaps there'll be a spurt of growth that will enable this church to continue in this location in much the same form for many, many decades to come. Maybe there'll be some sort of reformation or merger of other believers and a reintegration of the faith communities in some new form. Maybe there'll be something else that will happen that we cannot possibly foresee. Who knows? Rest assured, God will make new life possible. Amen.